When it comes to making plans, you are the best. What about those round trips, which are perfect on your way there and perfect on your way back? Or those meetings with friends, surprise parties, camps, birthdays. The same way you plan for the important moments, start planning to protect you and your loved ones from a natural disaster. Sign up for local weather and emergency alerts. Prepare an emergency kit and make a family communications plan. Get started at ready.gov/plan.
Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
More on the calls. We got to get to that Niner news. Dave Fleming in 15 minutes. But you know what else we need to do?
Tell me.
Well, I was so happy on Friday. You made my whole weekend when you picked the Patriots.
You're welcome. I did that intentionally.
I know you did, but no, you don't get credit for that.
Just I don't need credit.
Listen.
They were my 16 pick. The Niners were in my confidence pool.
The Niners were an easy cover. Yeah. And thank you.
Got a little dicey late.
There's never a doubt. Never a doubt.
You're in the red zone.
Anyway, you're coming off a loss, dog.
Yeah.
Let's fade the
Devers. No longer hot.
It's time for
Fade the Devers.
Please explain.
Nostra Diblis gives out his pick. You bet against it. You make money.
Cash me out one time.
It's that simple.
Hey, give your pick
Dibs. What's the lock of the day?
And as Bob Barker once said, it's not hole in one, it's hole in one or two. And that's what you get tonight with Fade the Dibbers for the second Monday night in a row. It's a little parlay action with a 1-2 punch, starting with the Tennessee Titans against the Miami Dolphins. Snoop Huntley is going to step in there at the quarterback position.
Who are you?
Which has the Dolphins as a 2.5-point favorite on the Tennessee Titans. What say you?
It opened as Tennessee -1, and the money is poured in on Miami, even though it's Snoop throwy
Snoop
throw.
Snoop is quarterbacking.
Yeah.
It's exciting.
Yeah. So Miami given 2.5 at home, and we are going to root for the home teams, plural, today. We're going to take Miami and lay the 2.5, and we're going to take Detroit indoors and lay the 4.5.
Okay. That one is up to 4.5. Was it 3.5 as late as last night? So more money pouring in on Detroit.
Yeah.
I love one of your picks.
You probably love Detroit, I would imagine. The Miami one's weird.
It's a weird game.
And it's a weird line move because you're down to your third quarterback of the year. Is Snoop Hundley better than Skylar Thompson? Okay.
He's more experienced.
Sure. He's more, and neither one of them is very good, yet the money is flying in on Miami.
What do they know?
I made these picks back on Wednesday, and I'm just going to stick with the picks, unlike the Niner game where I went against myself. And I did that for you guys, and I'm not going to ever do that again because I had the Niners as my most confident pick of the week, but I went against it because the peer pressure. I bowed to peer pressure. I won't do that again. I'm 6-5 in the year.
Yes, you will.
Come tomorrow, I'm going to be 8-5. I'm going to win both of these games.
Well, time will tell on that.
Yeah, sure.
But I do believe that the Lions is an Ottoman game tonight. Ottoman game.
And I'm pulling for you, and I'm on Ra, St. Brown.
Oh, don't worry. I'm going to lose that one.
You never know.
No, Steiny's got me. I don't mind.
I don't like your quitter mentality.
No, I don't. First of all, this is how I handle Steiny. It's what I did in the championship last
year.
Sure is. Text him early and congratulate him on the victory and then come back and whip him. But it's not going to happen this time. And I'm always happy to take the L when it's because of 49ers. And he had Jordan Mason and Juwan Jennings. And then he had Lamar Jackson at night. And he ran away from me. And that's totally fine. I'm totally fine with it. Good for Steiny. I'm happy for that young man. It's his week. How are you gonna? It's his 60th birthday. Steph calls. You got to end the week with a fantasy win.
It's pretty good.
This guy is such a D.
So good for Steiny. I'm very happy for him. Very. And I will call him later to tell him so.
Lamar Jackson stinks.
Yeah. Oh, now he doesn't deserve that. Then never mind.
I'm pulling for you, Granny, to knock off the unbeaten Carter Chickering.
Worst to first for me coming up? You never know.
Could you just start with a win?
Be nice.
Could you start with a win?
Yeah.
Yeah. What do you need?
I've got like a 75% chance right now. I forget exactly.
I don't want analytics. What do you need?
He needs 33 from Gibbs, Spears, and Waddle.
Oh.
And he's going up against DK Metcalf. So
oh.
It's a 70-30 proposition right now for Grandy.
Okay.
So he need, you know, he needs that. And I am riding into the week as the top point scorer. My team is, we're not trying to get too hyped up, but a little bit of a juggernaut going on in Dibberland.
Yeah, I don't think that's true at all.
Damn close to 200 this week, dog.
Good for you.
Scoreboard.
What's your record?
I'll be 3-1.
Okay.
And when you lose, I'll be ahead of you. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Yeah. I love when people celebrate the quarter pole. That's my favorite.
Every season gets broken down into quarters, so, right?
How did this grab you? I don't want to, like, we're going to take a call here in a second, get ready for Dave Fleming. But what do they call this? The dual action for Christian McCaffrey? He does not have...
Bilateral
Achilles tendonitis.
Achilles tendonitis.
So that means not one leg, but two. I could give you the rosy picture, the not so rosy picture.
Do the rosy, it's what you do.
Well, no, let's do both.
Okay.
He went to Germany, now they're like, ooh, we're going to check on his rehab as of Monday. Every doctor that I've listened to or had a conversation with about this, and I think people have sort of sat with this, this is not going to be an October return, would be my guess. Just my guess. But set the table there so you won't be disappointed. I do think you're going to see Christian in November. The problem is, you should all go listen to what Richard Sherman said about this, because he basically suffered from the same thing. And he said two things that are important to note. One, you just have no damn idea when it's going to up and go away. And two, he felt it was simply a matter of time before one of them ruptures.
Mm. Good God.
And then that happened. That happened to Richard Sherman.
Yeah.
And it came back. It was good for a couple years. And then that was it. Just like a faucet turning off. Career was over. So, yeah. Super scary with regard to Christian McCaffrey's situation.
I thought you were going to paint the rosy picture of what we saw from yesterday's game, which is Jordan Mason not only is a monster in the ground game, 24 carries, a buck 23, but looky here, don't look now, but he's starting to get the rock in the passing game.
No, he spent all offseason working on this.
But now they're trusting him in the pass game. He's a threat, and I wonder if he actually gets credit for the start, because the game started with Debo Samuel in the backfield.
Yeah, I don't know.
I guess Jordan Mason doesn't start. He doesn't get credit for the start. That's where it's always weird for me in football. The guy carries it 24 times and has two catches, and yet he probably doesn't get credit for the start because he wasn't on the field for the first snap.
He's on pace for 1,900 yards.
Yes.
And right now he is second in the NFL in rushing, only behind Derrick Henry, because Derrick went absolutely last night, which is why your team scored so many points. But he's ahead of Saquon Barkley. There are only three running backs who are averaging over 100 yards per game. They are those three: Derrick Henry, Jordan Mason, Saquon Barkley. Yes, I venture to guess with Brock Purdy and Jordan Mason, the 49er offense is fully capable of functioning at a high level.
No Christian, and they had 400 yards again. And they didn't have Debo or George last week, and they had 400 yards. This offense is a 400-yard producing machine, no matter who is out there, as long as they have Brock.
They have a star quarterback.
They do.
They have a star quarterback.
But he can't throw the deep ball, Mark.
Yeah, exactly. Yesterday's like, I'm only throwing deep balls.
Pretty much.
That's it. No dinks, no dunks.
I'm looking, and after the Grendo fumble, New England scores. It's 20-10. First play, 21 personnel, two running backs, one tight end, 55-yard post, the deep post, and Debo just
gone.
And Brock's throw was, I don't know, right in stride,
right in the basket.
But he can't throw the deep ball, Mark. It's dink and dunk
maybe
there in Santa Clara.
Yeah, he's going to work on it in the offseason.
My God.
Kyle Shanahan about 30, 40 minutes ago with regard to the Christian McCaffrey bilateral Achilles tendonitis.
No, during the time he's had it in both. I think it started in one, you get it overcompensated, went to the other, but mainly one of them has just been bothering, but he's had it in both.
Okay, so.
I didn't know those things spread. It's contagious.
God.
He needs to put a mask on his one Achilles so the other Achilles doesn't catch it. Did we get an update on Fred Warner?
Did we get an update on Fred Warner?
Fred Warner.
I would hope that we got an update on Fred Warner. What was the update on Fred Warner? Anything?
I'll look at the transcript and see. Right. But
I got you, Dibs. I listened to it.
What did he say?
Day to day.
That's a good. That's a good update.
Day to day.
Day to day.
Same with George Kittle, by the way.
Yeah.
Day to day.
Well, and the fact that Fred came out in uniform, helmet on, told me that it wasn't so bad that he went into streets.
My daughter, who by the way has the largest crush of all mankind in creation on Fred Warner, and was at a soccer tournament in Davis yesterday and had to hear about the pick six because she was on the field at the time. And literally, like, would have rather have left her soccer team and watched the game at home to see Fred Warner do a pick six in real time. Literally almost got to the point of getting mad at me in the car this morning because I was like, I don't know about the injury with Fred. She's like, Dad, he was out on the field with his helmet. I'm like, I know, but he said it takes a lot for him to tap out, and he tapped out. Dad, he ran off the field. I watched him run off the field. He's fine, Dad. Like, she did not want to hear the idea that Fred might miss a game.
Right.
She's not having it.
He doesn't miss games. And the one thing I thought about this morning, just real quick, and you guys can all throw things at me if you want when I say it, but
sweet.
At what point is it okay to say Fred Warner is the best linebacker the 49ers have ever had?
Ooh, no, I'm not going to throw anything at you. I don't think that's ridiculous at all.
Patrick Willis is in the Hall of Fame.
Yeah.
Fred Warner might be better.
You got people out there saying he's the best player in football right now. Best player in football.
That pick six was ridiculous for about seven different reasons.
All right, much more to come on both the Niners on a Victory Monday and a Giants day that will be remembered for a long time as well. We're sponsored by Robert Half. Your phone calls, are you back? Now that Buster is in control, and Dave Fleming joins us next on Willard and Dibs.
When it comes to making plans, you are the best. What about those round trips, which are perfect on your way there and perfect on your way back? Or those meetings with friends, surprise parties, camps, birthdays. The same way you plan for the important moments, start planning to protect you and your loved ones from a natural disaster. Sign up for local weather and emergency alerts. Prepare an emergency kit and make a family communications plan. Get started at ready.gov/plan.
Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
Costello, the runner at third. Posey does have the green light. Hits that one hard into right field. That is way back, and goodbye! Buster Posey! A two-run blast! And the Giants are on the board first.
Now, back to Willard and Dibs on 95.7 The Game.
The Buster Posey home run right there, of course, one of his many great moments. Are there now more coming as an executive? We're going to get to all of it. But also, hell, it's been a day of a lot of breaking news. Yeah. Man, social media is rocking and rolling from the idea that Farhan Zaidi has been let go. Buster Posey is now in. Christian McCaffrey with the bilateral Achilles tendonitis. Dikembe Mutombo has passed away. And we just got word that Pete Rose has also passed away today at age 83. And we go out to the River Islands guest line and bring on our very good buddy, Dave Fleming. Dave, before we get to everything with the Giants, wanted to give you an opportunity to say some things about that. Pete Rose, the hit king, has passed away.
Well, I didn't know until you just said it. So that's brand news to me. Tragic figure in sports in a lot of ways. I mean, the highs and the lows are, it's hard to match sort of the gamut of his career. I always lean on, you know, Mike Kruko played with Pete Rose in Philadelphia and had some amazing things to say about Pete as a teammate. And I think, you know, he was so admirable as a player on the field. Nobody's ever played harder, more consistently. Nobody's ever shown more respect for the game on the field as a player than he did, which makes it even more sort of confusing and tragic what happened after he was done playing. He did not bathe himself in glory or class after his career was over, but I hope he's remembered for an all-time great player. He was an all-time great player.
And he crested 200 hits, I believe, 10 times in his career. And just thinking about the hit king and 4,256 hits, is that sort of approach to the game? Is that now a bygone idea where a guy would go out there and just try to get knocks?
I don't think so. I mean, I think Luis Arraez is doing it. I think there are some other guys who are maybe trending in that direction. The Giants have a kid in their minor league system, Wade Meckler, who we saw last year in the big league level, who is sort of a style like that. I think with the new rules, I think there's a chance that we see some of those players start to come back. Clearly, there's nobody like Pete Rose out there right now. But I think the game is trending back towards where we might see more, at least hitters who style themselves like that. There might never be another Pete Rose exactly, but I think Jung Ho Lee has a chance to be that kind of hitter as he matures and develops. So I hope that's not true. Baseball's more fun when you got guys like that around.
Yeah, no doubt. And who knows? Maybe that's going to be part of the new philosophy of the San Francisco Giants as we get a regime change. So Dave Fleming with us on Willard and Dibbs. Farhan Zaidi is out. Buster Posey is in. And I guess sort of the two-pronged question is, what do you think this will mean for the emotion of the fan base? And then what do you think it'll mean for the baseball?
Well, the fan base is obviously going to be energized by this. I mean, it's no secret that the fan base, and I understand why, has been very cranky over the last year or two. And I think there's a couple reasons why. Number one, the Giants just have not won as many games as they expected to or believe they should have. So that gets everybody cranky when you feel like you're underachieving, when you feel like you're not making progress. Number two, it's just an incredible contrast over the last few years of what's going on with the Giants' main rivals down in L.A. And so I think those two things together have made everybody really unhappy around here and, you know, probably hastened the decision that got made today. Not just the bottom line results for the Giants, but also the contrast with what has happened year after year with the Dodgers. So I think that's, I think Giants fans are going to be energized by the fact that it's Buster. I mean, Buster is just a beloved and deservedly so part of this baseball family. He means, I think he embodies what the Giants fans believe this team means culturally. You know, Buster sort of is the perfect emblem of modern Giants baseball. So everybody believes he's smart, he's capable, he's motivated, he's serious, he's determined, all those things. So I'm sure Giants fans are happy about that.
What does Buster inherit as a contrast to what Farhan inherited? Because it seemed like Farhan came in as the aging championship core was being turned over. What does Buster come into now as far as the farm goes and the roster and what the upside is in the near future for this franchise?
Those are hard questions to answer, I would say. I mean, I think he inherits a better situation than the Giants had following 2018. The Giants were not in a very good place organizationally in 2018. And they have, and Farhan deserves some credit for, a lot of credit for getting this franchise in a better position than it was then. That argument carried more weight for me a few years ago. In other words, like 6 years is a long time, even with COVID sprinkled in the middle of it. And I think, you know, there is an expectation that there would have been more progress on that front, but it's hard to deny that the player development hasn't been pretty robust these last couple of years. There are a lot of development success stories at the big league level. They're young players who I don't know if you're going to call them building blocks. I think they are. I mean, maybe not superstar players, although some of the pitchers I think have a chance to be star level players, but certainly you got young talent that can fill your roster. You have a minor league system that is not nearly good enough yet. I mean, the Giants, I think one of the main things, one of the main reasons why this all happened today is even with some of the successes, the overall strength of the system just isn't as robust as it needs to be. But you got a young first baseman who's got a chance to be really, really good, who's going to be here sooner rather than later in Bryce Eldridge. So I think overall it's in a better place than it was in 2018. It's just, this is 6 years from then, and it probably needed to be in a better place even more so.
Dave Fleming with us. I mean, I'd love to hear maybe even a little bit more on that. When you look back on the Farhan Zaidi era, because I love listening to you talk about this, because you will point out all of it, right? The good and the bad. But when you look at the whole thing, what really was it that didn't work?
Well, I would say two things that come to mind immediately. Number one, first round draft picks did not work very well. And Patrick Bailey is a big exception, and Bryce Eldridge looks like he's going to be a massive exception. And if that turns out to be the case, then one of the legacies of Farhan's era here is going to be that kid who has a chance to be a big time star for the Giants. And I think that would very much change Farhan's legacy, looking ahead, if Bryce Eldridge turns into that kind of player. But otherwise, you got, a high round draft pick track record that didn't produce enough impact. And it's not just impact that gets to the big league level. It's impact that you use in trades, in deals, in being creative. It's something we've seen the teams in the National League West do. All of them. Dodgers have done it. Padres have done it. Diamondbacks have done it. Use your assets to make trades and make deals. And for some reason, the Giants just have not done any of that. Like, there just have been no attempts to find matches in trades where maybe your talent and somebody else's talent, whether it's a challenge trade with prospects, whether it's flipping some young guys for veterans or vice versa. That just didn't happen over the last 6 years, almost without exception. There were a lot of good trades at a lower level. Lamont Wade is a great trade. Giants killed that trade, but it didn't move the needle enough on the big league level to sort of mitigate what these other teams have done. So I think that's part of it for me. I think the other thing that just didn't work very well was this strategy of trying to patch together the big league roster with short-term contracts, with opt-outs. I think it's a really hard... I know why Farhan did it. I know why the Giants have done it. There are lots of good reasons why, but I think we ran an experiment over these last years that also shows why it's hard to develop roster chemistry, roster continuity, in building your team that way. And I think that was, that's ultimately a big part of the story of these last few years. So many contracts like that. And when you line them all up, not a lot of them worked out very well.
Does that become the challenge for Buster Posey, Dave, to find a way to attract and sign and bring in these high-priced guys? Or is the ballpark too much of a preventative factor, especially when it comes to signing free agent offensive players?
I think it is a complicated question. I think the ballpark is definitely a detriment when you're talking about the historic level talents, the guys like Harper, Ohtani, Judge, who want to go to the Hall of Fame and put up record-setting numbers. I do believe when they have choices that they choose to go to a place that can help their numbers more. And that's just a fact. And maybe Buster's going to actually consider, moving in the fences or reconfiguring Oracle Park a little bit to account for that. I think it's at least worth considering. Because I do think it's not just attracting free agents. It's also like, are your own homegrown players becoming less productive than they would be because they change their approach to the ballpark, or they get discouraged because of the ballpark? I mean, the Michael Conforto thing this year is just amazing. The difference between Michael on the road and at home, his offensive numbers, and it's eye-opening. And you don't want that. You don't want your home ballpark to somehow be a disadvantage for your own players. But I ultimately think that in almost all cases, money wins. Money and proof that you are a winning franchise and a franchise committed to winning. And if Buster can deliver a better big league team consistently, then I think the free agent signings can follow. I do.
So, Dave, I've seen it suggested by some in the beat writing community today that this move brings Juan Soto back into play. Do you buy that?
I don't. I don't. I, yeah. I I don't want to throw a bucket of cold water on that idea, but I don't see one. I don't think, you know, Juan Soto, everybody, the Padres have it going on right now. Padres have this amazing thing happening with their franchise over the last couple of years. It did not go well for Juan Soto there, and I think he is a guy who's very attached to playing closer to home. He's been much more comfortable in both Washington and New York than he was out here. He had a good year with the Padres, but it's obviously unlocked a whole nother level of performance being in New York. So my guess is that unless the Giants just decided, screw it, we're just making an offer that he can't say no to, my guess is that that he's going to be focused on playing closer to the East Coast.
How much, or how many, rather, Dave, other changes would you anticipate with Buster Posey taking this role? Is it scouting? Is it a general manager? I'm not asking you to name specific people, but when you have something like this happen, how much would you anticipate bigger changes ahead?
Big changes, I think, are coming. I do. I think there will be a lot of front office changes. There'll be some coaching staff changes. There'll be player development changes. I think part of why this is happening is the Giants were less than thrilled with what was going on under the hood, up and down the organization. And, you know, some of that's reflected in just pure player development. Some of that's reflected in communication with your staff up and down your organization, all that kind of stuff. Well, I think it's natural. It just independent of all that, I think it's natural for somebody who's taking over to have an opinion about the types of people and the sort of the philosophies that that person wants in place. I mean, I guarantee there will be a GM, whoever that is. You know, Buster needs some big time help in terms of, I have full faith that Buster can do this job. You know, smart, driven, motivated people can figure out how to do this. You know, it's complicated, but it's not that complicated. Like, he can do this job, but you need some help on just the rules, transactions, day-to-day nuts and bolts stuff. If you've never worked in a front office, he's familiar with all that stuff and how it works sitting on the executive committee, but he probably needs somebody who really has some experience and know-how in that regard to help him out. So I'm sure they're going to be interviewing some people for some high-level front office positions, assistant GM, you know, whether it's a full-time GM or however they structure it. I think we'll see a bunch of changes.
Dave Fleming with us, Willard and Dibs, 95.7 The Game. Dave, I kind of already asked you about the fan morale. You correct me if I'm wrong. I've certainly heard whispers over the last couple of years that the morale of the organization has been hit at times. What do you think this move does for the morale inside the building, not just outside?
Well, I mean, I think that just having Buster around more makes everybody happy. Like, that's independent of anything that's been going on or how anybody has felt about the last few years. I think if you're hearing stuff about the morale and inside baseball kind of stuff, I think most of that has to do with not winning enough. Like, winning cures everything at this level. And when you don't win the way you expect to, morale isn't good. It just isn't. And so I do think most of those kinds of things get overblown. Like, if the bottom line is, when you're not performing the way you want to, nobody is happy. Everybody's cranky. But I think internally, like, there's nobody who's come through the Giants organization, maybe ever, who's had more respect universally than Buster. It's just a fact. He's just, you know, Buster is an amazing person. He's got so many different skills, and some that aren't as apparent as others. Like, you know, Buster, everybody knows Buster was a great Hall of Fame talent as a player. He's going to the Hall of Fame in 2 years when he's eligible to be voted in. But, you know, he also was like the toughest guy down there, the player most likely to hold other players accountable. Like, Buster is no pushover, like, not at all. There will be a set of expectations in this organization that if they're not met, there will be consequences. Like, Buster is a very serious guy, but in the best way. Like, I'm going to do my job, you do your job. And I think that's what everybody has always loved about Buster, and I think that makes him a good fit for this particular spot.
And he's got a little bit of credibility too, Dave, which can't hurt.
He's got a lot of credibility.
Yeah, when you've done what he's done. When you look back at this year, which players are you most excited about heading into next year? Guys who maybe popped, who you didn't anticipate doing as well as they had?
The guy that comes to mind when you first say that is Birdsong. I think Hayden Birdsong's got the stuff and the ability to be a top-level starting pitcher in the big leagues. He's got work to do. He's got a lot of work to do to get there. But he's got the tool set to be big time. And I didn't expect that from him. I didn't know much about him. I hadn't seen much about him. But I really, really was impressed with him. And I think Buster, you know, one thing Buster always knew and watched, what plays in this sport, high-level starting pitching plays in this sport. And I think Buster knows that and really values that. And I think Hayden Birdsong can be a big part of the Giants' future. I think Kyle Harrison can too. But Kyle also is a guy who has a lot of work to do at a young age, but a lot of work to do to get to that level. And that's good. Like, it's almost never the case where somebody just shows up and they're a finished product. It's never the case. So those two guys can be bedrock players for the Giants going forward. But Birdsong's the one that when you first asked that, he's the first name that sprung to my mind of a guy like, wow, I just was blown away by how talented that young guy is.
Dave, should we have seen this coming? And here's what I mean by that. Like, this whole thing today made me think back to when he moved the family from Georgia to the Bay Area, which surprised me then. But I feel today like, gosh, we should have known that a more front-facing, day-to-day operations type of gig might be in the future. To what level did that surprise you? And you know, like, should we have known this all along? Has this been the plan?
Well, I think I was still surprised by it. I was. And I know Buster really well. Like, Buster and I are friends. I see him. I talk to him. But I was still surprised by this. And just because, you know, I did believe him, and I think it was not like he was lying when he said he wanted to scale back when he retired and be around his family more. And he's still, you know, you can be a family guy and do this job, but this is a big job, a big time commitment. And so that part of it did surprise me. The place where I think what you're getting at and where maybe we could have seen this coming is, you know, if you listen closely to Buster over the last year and the things he said about the Giants and helping the franchise recruit players and his role on the executive board and all that stuff, what comes through to me is, and even just moving back here and being back in the Bay Area, like, Buster cares so much about this franchise. He does, like, deeply in his soul. He cares about the Giants, and it hurt him. Like, when you listen to Buster over the last few years, it hurt him that things weren't going as well as they did in his last year as a player. And so I think that's maybe where he sent out some clues that maybe we could have picked up on, that there was going to come a point where he felt like, hey, I need to do something about it. If I care that much, I need to step up and do something about it.
Dave, it's fantastic to have your perspective today, man. Thank you so much for joining us.
I think everybody should be excited. I mean, whatever you think about Buster Posey in a good way is true. Like, he's the real deal.
Yep.
So I think everybody should be excited about today and what this means for the Giants. Having Buster around is going to be a really, really good thing.
Hey, do you think Bryce Eldridge makes his major league debut at some point next year?
Yes. Yes, yeah. I do.
That's,
yeah.
That's yeah. a good answer.
Yes, I do. That's the correct answer, Dave.
That's a good.
Yeah. I think we're seeing more of it across the game, like, push your young, talented players up. And part of that is the weirdness of minor league baseball these days. I know we're running out of time.
No,
I won't go
right.
long on
you're,
this,
you're
but,
right.
but I think, well, you know, we saw this year Ramos, Fitzgerald, Birdsong, like, getting to the big leagues and then learning often accelerates development in today's game. You know, there's just something going on in the minor leagues right now whether it's talent dispersion or ballpark weirdness in the Pacific Coast League or whatever, it's harder to develop skills in the minor leagues. And so I think with your really talented guys, you know, not only is it like, hey, let's get this guy up here and see if he can help us win games, it's also like, how can we get the best out of him fastest? Often the answer to that, in my opinion, is by getting that player to the big leagues with your big league coaches, get that experience and see where it takes you. The guy's very, very talented, very talented.
Opening day?
Not out of the question. Probably not.
Okay.
Probably not.
Yeah.
But not out of the question.
Ooh. Born in 2004, Dave, if you need to feel old.
He's turning 20 3 weeks from today.
My goodness.
Yeah. Oh, man.
And like, look at, there's a team going to the playoffs, Jackson Churio, and another team going to the playoffs, the Padres, who wouldn't be going without a 20-year-old.
Yep.
Jackson Merrill and Churio, both for the Brewers and the Padres, both those teams lean so hard on those young guys. And Churio, the first 2 months or so wasn't that pretty. And by the time we saw him late in the year, he was one of the best players in the league.
Dave, phenomenal. Thank you so much, my friend.
Talk to you guys soon.
Okay.
The best.
Most definitely. Dave Fleming.
Yeah. Ladies and gentlemen, Dave Fleming.
Good day for the Giants. Yeah. All right. Hey, let's talk it out. You heard everything Dave just said. Buster Posey is now running the Giants. Does this bring you back? We'll keep taking your calls. 888-957-9570. Presented by Fremont Bank, celebrating 60 years of full-service banking with no compromises. It's Willard and Dibs.
Willard and Dibs.
It's a great question.
Wow, that's a great question. That's a great question. That's a great question.
And that's a great question.
On 95.7 The Game.
So, lot to gather there from Mr. Dave Fleming.
Yeah.
Who's a very good friend of Buster Posey's.
Apparently.
The confidence is high. The confidence is high. But if somebody was like, oh, yeah, Dave on, what'd he say? Let me give you three headlines, okay?
He likes the hire.
1,000,000,000% confidence in Posey.
Yep.
Yes, you'll see Bryce Eldridge next year.
Early and often.
And maybe the fences are coming in. Now,
that was one that was a little bit of an eyebrow raiser. And I looked at Michael Conforto.
Yes.
And his splits.
What are his home road splits?
He had 20 home runs.
Yeah, good for him, by the way. Nice little...
good little year.
Yeah, good marker.
Three homes, 17 road.
Good God, are you serious? He hit three at home?
Three home, 17 road. OPS at home, 632. That's not good.
That's not good.
OPS on the road, 852.
That's really good.
That's really good.
Damn. He was an all-star on the road.
A batting average, 216 at home, 253 on the road, on and on and on. He didn't play as much at home.
Yeah, how many road games did he play?
72 road, okay, so 58 home.
In 72 games, you're going to tell me he had an OPS, what'd you say, 850?
852.
852 OPS and 17 home runs in 72 games?
Right, so that's a homer every four games, basically.
Brother, that's all-star.
Correct.
All-star.
At home, 58 games.
58 games.
Three homers.
Three.
That projects out to be a 9-homer year.
That's Sacramento.
Right.
Let's send him out.
So there's your Michael Conforto. Your Jekyll and your Hyde from Conforto.
I want to be real that Dave, because Dave would be upset if we're like, hey, I hear the Giants are moving the fans. That's not what he said. But what he said was maybe Buster looks at that. Like if everybody has really come to the decision, and let me raise my hand, I have.
Yeah, you have.
The damn ballpark is beautiful, but it's getting in your way. That's how I feel. It's so beautiful. I don't know what to tell you, though. If you want a fancy free agent, if you want guys to enjoy hitting there, and if you want your team to stop having to win every game 3-2, the ballpark is pushing against you now. That's just the fact, Jack. It doesn't mean you can't win there. They've won three World Series there. So I'm not saying that. But if what we're talking about is also fan excitement and free agency and how you're viewed and all of these things, a destination, then yeah, it's pushing against you. I mean, listen to what you're just saying there. Michael Conforto, I remember when this ballpark was being built, it was literally being built for Barry.
Right.
The whole idea was, oh, short porch and right field. It's going to be amazing for left-handed hitters. They can't hit the ball out of there. Brandon Belt is lesser in the minds of everyone listening to us today because of that ballpark. He would have had multiple 30 home run seasons if not for that ballpark. No question in my mind. And your Conforto splits are another great example. And Bonds was an absolute monster, so it's the only guy where it didn't matter. And now, who's next? Oh, by the way, I'm Buster. Who's the guy that can create excitement for the fan base? What's his name?
He's 6'7", and he's 19 years old.
And which side of the plate does he hit from?
He's a southpaw. And Bryce Eldridge, lefty.
Hey, Bryce, welcome to the bigs. Your power alley is 587 feet, and the wind's blowing in.
And the fence is about 50 feet high.
Good luck!
Giants as a team, 112 homers on the road, 65 homers at home. That's a 47 home run differential. The OPS is almost identical, but it's because they racked up ton of doubles. 46 more doubles at home than on the road.
Yeah.
So it wasn't that they can't hit at home. It's just they can't hit home runs at home.
Yeah, because your alleys are huge.
Right.
Your alleys are huge.
And you traded away one of your better right-handed hitting sluggers.
Well, he wasn't slugging.
He got, what, he hit like 10 as a Giant?
Yeah, whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But as a team, you were, I think, just below league average in home runs anyway. But it's certainly...
It's an interesting idea.
It's a consideration. Yeah, and I do think that what he said about Hayden Birdsong was very glowing, that he was the one player. I was kind of leading him to an Elliot Ramos or a Fitzgerald answer, and he went right to Birdsong.
And
so
Pence brought him up, too.
Yeah.
Hunter Pence earlier on the show, Odyssey app, YouTube, if you missed it.
So if he
brought
up
Birdsong.
I mean, if he gets better and if Kyle Harrison can, you know, work on some things, now you may have a rotation.
It's interesting how quickly things change, though, right? It's just like Christian McCaffrey. Oh, no, we're going to lose every game. Wait a minute. Jordan Mason's leading the world in rushing. Like, Kyle Harrison, I'm not saying that everybody is out on Kyle Harrison by any stretch, but the shine is off a little bit because that didn't quite look as fancy as we thought it might. The fastball didn't have the life. The second pitch didn't have the consistency. And now Birdsong's come up and had a bunch of double-digit strikeout games, and all of a sudden people are like, huh, Birdsong, okay. And then Kyle Harrison is like an afterthought. I'm sure that doesn't feel great for Kyle, but Dave's right. Like, there's improvements to be made there. But let's focus on that for a second.
4.56 ERA
yeah.
and a whip of 1.343, and he only pitched 124 innings.
Yep.
I mean, it was a very mediocre year for guy who was kind of on the phenom track.
Well, I mean, he's a pop, so I'm not like...
Agreed. No one's given up on him.
No, I'm not worried about the numbers. I'm more sort of like surprised that the metrics and the numbers of the actual pitches didn't look better. I thought they were going to look better. So not out on him by any stretch. It's very, very early, but you can hear the excitement in the voice is now about Birdsong and not necessarily Kyle Harrison. And then there are others too, right? I know you love bringing up Carson Wisenhunt.
Yeah.
You know, there are others on the way too. And then when you factor in Logan Webb and Robbie Ray, and then I don't know what's going to happen with Snell. Doesn't sound great, but like I have a lot more confidence in them putting together a pitching staff next year than I do like them having a lineup that scares other people.
Yeah.
But how does that idea grab everybody? We can get into that. 888-957-9570. Would you be thumbs up on the fences coming in? What do you think?
I'm thumbs down on the fences coming in.
Why?
Because the architecture of the ballpark is perfection. It's wonderful. It's perfect. And I think that if you, like, how would you bring in the fences? So you would move in, I guess, right center. You'd move it in 10 or 15 feet, and you'd have a fence in front of the brick wall. So you no longer would have that wonderful carom off the seventh archway. And, you know, my guy, John Miller, the way he calls it, something about balls rattling off the fence and the bricks out there. I love it. It's a little bit of a throwback feel.
Yeah.
And I don't know where else you would bring the fences in. You got 309 down the line and right. You can't bring that in. You can't really lower it because, I mean...
No, I don't think you do anything to the brick wall. But yes, the fence in right center has already been brought in once. You can continue to bring it in further. There are parts...
But that's not in center, right?
No, it's right center. It's right
center. It's right of center. I get what you mean.
Yeah, and the, there's already part of the brick wall that is... a home run. You know what I mean? You can just make more of it. You could, in theory, move in left and actually also left center. Nobody talks about left center because it doesn't have a fun nickname like Triples Alley.
Yeah.
But left center is big. It's very, very deep. And look, I'm not, again, this is no advantage or disadvantage for the Giants. Other teams are playing there too. But if you're talking about young fans and the pace of the game and ability to hit the long ball and excitement and now Buster's here, all of that. And if you're trying to woo a free agent who hits home runs, yeah, like I would be for it. I would need to see exactly what they're thinking about doing, but I think it's in their way. I hate it because it's beautiful, but it's in their way. That would be my answer.
Yeah, the pitchers gave up 71 home runs at home. So you got out slugged 71-65 in your own ballpark. Yeah. So 71 home runs allowed, not a huge number relative to 81 games. It's a homer a game, but you know that kind of speaks to the total. 136 home runs then in the 81 games at Oracle Park between two teams.
Drew is in Sunnyvale joining us here on Willard and Dibs. Hi, Drew. Thanks for calling. We got Drew? Drew is gone. Let's go to Richie in Queens. Hi, Richie. Thank you for calling.
Hey, boys. How are you?
What's up?
Oh, man. Let me tell you. First of all, I'm watching the Mets here. You know, Giants are my first team. Mets are the second team. Incredible game. Obviously, I wish the Giants were in there. But the Posey deal, you know, Posey's never. I love Posey. Look, I loved him. I never liked what happened with that Strickland incident. That he never went out. You guys remember that?
Oh, very well.
Went out with Harper.
Why didn't you like it? What did you not like about it?
I think he's got to protect his pitcher, 100%. Uh-huh. I don't care if you did like Strickland or not. You got to protect your pitcher, and that. But I always felt that Posey was, you know, a little bit up, not uppity. But bottom line here, look, the fact that he took this job, I think is going to be great for the organization because I think it's like they told him he's not gonna tolerate losing. So they must have said, you know what, we're gonna do everything we can to build this organization back up. Because it's been pretty much a disaster the last few years. So I think it's a great move. And, you know, I don't know if you guys are hearing about maybe Soto coming there. I heard it from New York that they might be, you know, because they need a power hitter. They need a presence, you know, because if they do get Snell and you got Webb and you got Ray coming back and Harrison and Birdsong, you have a good bullpen. You just need some bats, and they could be competitive, you know. So I think overall it's a good move getting him. You guys agree with that?
You're talking about Juan Soto?
Yeah, talking about Soto and Posey. Do you like not, the idea of Posey?
The Posey, absolutely. Richie, always great to hear from you. Thanks. Here, let me make a promise to everybody. I'm going to read this, and then I'm going to make a promise to everybody. You're listening to 95.7 The Game, KGMZ FM and HD1 San Francisco, and Odyssey Sports Station, always live on the free Odyssey app. Twitch and YouTube, powered by First NorCal Credit Union. For a low-rate auto loan, apply online, or just ask for First NorCal Financing at the dealer.
When it comes to making plans, you are the best. What about those round trips, which are perfect on your way there and perfect on your way back? Or those meetings with friends, surprise parties, camps, birthdays? The same way you plan for the important moments, start planning to protect you and your loved ones from a natural disaster. Sign up for local weather and emergency alerts. Prepare an emergency kit and make a family communications plan. Get started at ready.gov/plan.
Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.